Well, hey, if you got your Bibles,
I'm excited about the Word of the Lord tonight. As I was reflecting upon what we were to talk about, I really feel like God had impressed some things upon my heart that I want to share with you tonight. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to the Old Testament. We're going to kind of hang out in some of the Old Testament. I love the Psalms. I love the Proverbs. Pastor Dan was just last week hanging out in Proverbs in the third chapter. I tell you what, great message. One of the greatest verses, I think, of our word from God is to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. But I tell you what, we're going to hang out a little bit in the Psalms. We're going to hang out a little bit in the Old Testament, jump around to some of the New Testament as well. But I just love the Psalms. I love what the psalmists, what they write, and the way they express the zeal and the passion that they have for the Word of God, for the power of God, for the precepts of God, for all things God. I love what Psalms has. But as we go this afternoon or this evening, let's turn to Isaiah in the 55th chapter. And the title of tonight's message, if you're taking notes, is called, I've entitled it, A Primer on Perspective. A primer on perspective. Now, what does that mean? A primer is not, I'm not thinking of, you know, that gray coat of paint that they put underneath the top coat of your car or your automobile's paint, but rather a primer is a text or is educational. It's basically an intro, something that's used to teach somebody kind of the introduction or just the basics of a certain subject. And tonight I want to talk about a primer on perspective, basically an introduction on perspective, because you know life as we know it is seen through the perspective of our experiences. And we may experience life, I don't know if anybody's there, I have a tendency, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I have a tendency sometimes in my life to dramatize certain areas. Has anybody else ever been there before? My wife, Stacy, on the front row can attest that sometimes I can be a drama king. And there are just times when I just blow things out of proportion and everybody who's around me is just going, wow, what is going on? But because I'm living life through my perspective. Just as you are living life through your perspective. Now, what the things that have you've gone through, the things that you've experienced in life, the experiences, you know, dealing with jobs, dealing with employers, dealing with employees, dealing with family, dealing with brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and children, whatever it might be, have shaped you, have formed you into the person and to the perspective that you are living life in today. You guys understand that whole idea? That we live life not as it is, but as we are. Or I've heard that the statement said that you see life not as it is, but as you are, because you see life through the goggles or through the glasses of your own perspective. And that's why you can see that there are, when you've ever seen maybe a trial or a testimony of two different people, or you've heard of that thing called the telephone game, as word gets passed from person to person, or as each person's example or their side of the story is told, it's different. Even though it was one event and it happened this way or that way, each person might have a different perspective based on that. And tonight, what I want to talk to you is about an introduction on perspective, because you know what? Not always in our lives is our perspective in alignment with God's perspective. Hello. You with me on that one? So in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, here Isaiah 55, Isaiah 54, amazing sections of the Word of God. Why? Because here we're talking about some of the foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've got one of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center version Bibles, you'll see outline stars all throughout this section of the Word, because these are prophecies of Jesus Christ before they've come to pass. And here in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, as the prophet is speaking to the people and as he's sharing them with them the heart of the Lord, Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse number 8, verse number 9, says, for my thoughts, speaking of God to the people, verse number 8, for my thoughts, you see right there, we know that this is God speaking to the people. Why? Because we see that capital M is indicative of God speaking to the people. It says, so he says to the people, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways, capital Y, speaking of you, or lowercase y, speaking of you and I, your ways, my ways, says the Lord. And goes on to verse number 9, and he goes on to say, let's go ahead and put verse number 9 up on the screens. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so, as we live our lives, as we continue to go through life, we deal with issues. We deal with hard times. We deal with good times. Because it's not all just about how we deal with the bad. Don't you know that there are good times in life, praise God? That there are times when the sun shines on our back and things are great. But it's how we deal with our perspective on life. It's how do we see what God has for us. And do we see life through our own perspective or God's perspective? Because Isaiah, as he's laying out the prophecy, as he's laying out, I don't know if you guys, you can hear that, miss. There's a little bit of interference. As he's laying out the prophecies and the promise of God coming forth to Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, to you and I, his people, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Which means that there's hope for you and I. To know that as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways and his thoughts above you and I. And the fact is that we have got to see that God's perspective is not always our perspective, and how to live life through seeing God's perspective rather than our perspective. You know, perspective is an interesting thing. When you view something from a certain angle, it might look one way. And you view it from another angle, it might look completely different. Let me give you a physical example of that. I remember there was one time when my wife and some of my friends, we were at a beach, Coronado Beach in San Diego. We were vacationing there for the weekend. And we were out at the beach, and it was just long, silver strand of beach. The water was warm, unlike, you know, I don't know, I would say California water is not warm. But unlike California water, it was warm, so we just wanted to be in the water all day. And one of the things I enjoy doing is I love the body surf. I just love to catch a wave and let that wave take me all the way into the sand and just continue to do that all day. And I remember we were sitting out there on the sand, me and a couple of my friends, and we were talking about the waves, and we're like, man, those are perfect. Those are nice little waves, you know, probably 3 foot, 4 foot waves. Not too much, not too little, just great, wonderful. And I remember we're like, oh, let's go. So we all run out there into the water. We all get there, and you know, the water's right about chest deep, right around, you know, just pretty much right at your head level. And those little 3 foot, those little 4 foot waves, as we were now in the water with just our head sticking out of the water, look completely different than when they did when I was 100 feet away from them looking at them from a distance. And now all of a sudden those little 3 foot, 4 foot waves, we were ducking underneath a lot of them saying, no, 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 no way. No, 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 not that one. Because they were a little bit too strong for our level of skill. Because I'm not a professional body surfer. I mean, we're just guys, you know. And I didn't want to drown that day. But don't you know that perspective is the same thing? Don't you know that life is the same thing? Don't you know that hard times, don't you know that good times are the same thing? That you can view them from a distance and you can say, wow, great, wonderful. And it may look easy, may look, you know, like just a little tiny grain of sand. But as you get closer and as you get closer and you get deeper and deeper into that issue, it becomes a mountain. Or it might be the other way around. You might be climbing that mountain and realize that it's just a molehill in your life. It's just a little gopher mountain. My parents all my life always used to tell me, Luke, don't make mountains out of molehills. Stop making mountains out of molehills. And I never understood what they were saying. What they were saying is a little gopher mound. That little mound of dirt that a gopher or a mole would put up as he digs his hole. A little tiny 3-inch hole. Don't make that a mountain in your life. But sometimes it's a matter of perspective to see whether it is a mountain or whether it is a molehill in our life. And to align, to see that according to God, according to God's word, according to God's understanding and God's ability in our lives to step in on those mountains that we may face. So what we're going to do tonight is I've got some things that I believe that the Lord has really set upon my heart to talk to you tonight about as a primer, an introduction to perspective, so that we might walk out of this place and realize that sometimes we just have to step back and look at things from another perspective. What other perspective is that? God's perspective. Are you guys with me tonight? So we saw in Isaiah that our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. God's thoughts, his ways are higher than ours. So today I want to talk about perspective. And I've got a statement for you that we're going to talk about. Four things, and it's just two words. God is. Okay, that's the perspective alignment. That's the what we're going to line upon our perspective on tonight is those two words. God is. Because you could take my problems are, you could take my finances are, my kids are, my job is, you could take whatever it is, my life is, and you can align it to this. But we're going to say God is. Why? Because God is the measuring stick. God is what we should align our perspective, our thoughts, our will, our ways along with. So God is what we're going to look at as far as a means of our perspective. Are you guys with me tonight? So we're going to talk about a primer on perspective, talking about aligning our perspective or taking a thought of perspective. Number one is God is bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger than what? Anything. Everything! God is bigger. You know, in our young adult service on Friday night, this last Friday night, we showed a DVD from a preacher named Louis Giglio. It was part of the Passion tour that goes around the United States and around the world. And he was talking about the greatness of our God based upon, is it Chris Tomlin's song? How great is our God, right?
Indescribable.
Indescribable. Well, that's the first one. The second one is How Great is Our God. Anyways. And he's talking about perspectives. And you know, there's something to understand, is that sin or the nature of man, sin nature of man, mankind in general, has the desire, has the ability, has the thought process in itself to make God smaller than what he is. When you're in sin, if you say, Pastor Luke, what does that mean? Well, let's just say you're living life normal, living in the sin nature that God did not intend for us, but that Adam and Eve so lovingly partook of that fruit and gave to us as a gift that passed down through mankind. We can see the sin nature in man is just ingrained in us. So if we are in that sin nature, it is ingrained in us to make God smaller, to bring God down to our level. And so rather than seeing God in a perspective that God wants us to see, we see God through our perspective. That God's not big enough for our issues. That God's not big enough to overcome the mountain that I'm facing. That even though the Word of God says that I can say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, that the power of God is really not big enough for that one mountain. And that is our natural tendency. But I love what he did. What he did is he took the size of earth and he compared it to a golf ball. A small and tiny golf ball. And right off the bat, he said, can you find yourself on that golf ball? Of course, we couldn't find ourselves on a golf ball because it's only a golf ball. And then he says, if you were to compare that golf ball to the size of the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. Little tiny golf ball, that's you and I, the sun. The sun is almost a million times bigger than the earth. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on to the next star. He says, this is one of the brighter stars that we see. And he says, this next star, he says, this star is twice the size. And everybody starts to think in the DVD, starts saying out, oh, the sun. No, this next star is twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. And so this is a brighter star in our galaxy that we see. And this is just one of hundreds of billions of stars. And he said, if the Earth was the size of a golf ball, the comparison would be to take that golf ball and set it at the base of the Empire State Building. Walk across the street and look at the golf ball, look at the Empire State Building, and imagine five more Empire State Buildings on top of that, and that would be the size of the star. But he doesn't stop there. Then he goes on to say he finds another star, and the star is called Musifi. And this star, he says, is the Earth was the size of a golf ball. This star is as big as the Golden Gate Bridge twice over. He says, so imagine putting a golf ball at the base of the Golden Gate Bridge, going across the bay over into Oakland, and looking at the Golden Gate Bridge, and imagine one more Golden Gate Bridge, and that's how big that star is. But that's not even the biggest star. There's another star, the biggest one that we found so far. He says, if the Earth was the size of a golf ball, could you find yourself on a golf ball? He says, if the Earth was the size of a golf ball, this star is the size of Mount Everest compared to the golf ball. And that's our God. That's one of hundreds of billions of stars in our galaxy that our God had created. But let me show you how big God is. Because you say, Pastor Luke, what does stars, what does the size of the universe have to do with God and how big he is? Let me show you. In the book of Psalms in the 33rd chapter. Psalms 33, if you got your Bible, let's just turn there real quick. Let me show you the greatness of our God. Doesn't matter the size of your problem. Doesn't matter the mountain that you might be climbing. Psalms 33, verse number 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Well, I don't think you're getting it. I don't think you're seeing this. I don't think you're seeing what we just read. By the word of the Lord, the heavens
were made. And the host of them, the universe that is expanding, that we are continually finding. You know, there's galaxies out there that are hundreds of billions of light years away, which means, if you're not into science, let me just sum this up. The Hubble Space Telescope that's orbiting Earth, it sees the picture of this galaxy. That light, the picture that is coming into to the photographic image of that Hubble telescope, it took that little bit of an instance, that 1/250th of a second or whatever it might have been to take a picture of that instance or that star or that galaxy, it took it 100 million years just to get to the space telescope. Which means that when the dinosaurs were walking the Earth, when the Earth was before, long before man was even here, the galaxies and the hosts of the heaven were growing and expanding. Yes. But let me show you how big our God is. God didn't call Larry Acento Construction down the road. He didn't hire the contractors and say, "Hey guys, listen, I got a building project for you. I'm going to create this thing called a universe." He didn't break out the hammer and the chisel. He didn't roll up his sleeves and get dirty. The word of the Lord. He spoke. Heavens came into existence. His breath of his mouth. The sun that we orbit, that takes 8 minutes for light from the sun to get to the earth. The earth is almost a million times smaller than the sun, and that sun is millions of times smaller than that star. All came to existence from a God who just spoken, who breathed it into existence. And our sin, our perspective, our nature tries to bring God to our level. Tries to say that science might misprove God. Tries to say that God's healing isn't for me. Tries to say that God's prosperity isn't for me. Tries to say that the promises of the Bible were for yesterday, not for me. Tries to say that God is not big enough for my issue today. But let me tell you, the God who breathed the universe into existence is for you today, and He is bigger than anything you and I can dream or imagine. Amen. You know, think of the example of a small guy. Elijah, I love you. I'm going to pick on you just for a minute. Think of the example of a small guy like Elijah. Elijah's not small, but he's not large either. When we say, "My God's bigger." Hey, come here. Come here real quick. Don't you guys love Elijah? All right, stand right here. Stanley, come here. Come on. We think of our God's bigger. We think of, all right, let's go playground tactics, right? Like we're the little kid on the block. But no. God is not bigger like Stanley is bigger to Elijah. God is not like the big kid that says, "Okay, you got an issue? Let me fold my arms. Fold your arms up. Let me see the tough face, Stanley. Come on, give me that. Fold your arms up. There you go. Yeah, see? There you go." God is not just like Stanley to Elijah says, "Listen, man, I got your back. I'm the big guy. Somebody comes and picks on you, I'm going to show them who it is." God is bigger than we can imagine. He's not just a Stanley over Elijah. He's not just a tall guy over a short guy. Over your issue. Thanks, guys. You can go ahead and be seated. Over your issue. He's not just some big guy standing over a little guy. God is bigger than you and I can imagine. He's bigger than your issues. He's bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than the mountain. He's bigger than you and I can believe in the fact that God spoke and there was light. God took man, formed him, breathed life into man, and all of a sudden we existed. God is a big God. And sometimes the perspective of life, sometimes life in itself comes against us, comes and tries to bring God down into our level. We have the blinders of life and we begin to see things as we are, not as though God is. And it doesn't matter what you're facing, even if you were one of the ones that came up today and cried on the altar in this place tonight. To understand this, that God is bigger. That God is bigger. That God is bigger than anything that you can hope for. you can think, you can imagine, any circumstance that comes against you, any big bully, your boss, your children, whatever it might be. God is bigger. And we have got to have a perspective on life, not based on what we think, because when our life goes, we think we can't do it. But when we grab a hold of the primer on perspective, introduction, this isn't rocket science. But when we grab a hold of it, we walk out of this place, and when life hits us in the face, we say, you know what? Whatever the problems are, whatever the issue is, my God is bigger. Then all of a sudden, our problems don't seem so big. Then all of a sudden, our issues don't seem so big. Then all of a sudden, those good times that we celebrate in, they don't seem so good. But rather, we enjoy God for who He is. Why? Because we know that God is bigger. Are you guys okay with me tonight? You know, in Matthew, the 19th chapter, I'm just going to go ahead and put it up on the over. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, we read, this is the story of the rich man that comes to Jesus and he says, you know, what must I do to get into heaven? And Jesus says, obey the commandments. And he says, I've done this since my youth. And he says, okay, if you really want to be good, then go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. He walked away and he was sad because the Bible says that he had great possessions. And Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus looked at them and they asked Jesus, but God, then how is it possible for man to be saved? And he says, with men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. When you and I try to do it, we can't do it. But with God, all things are possible. We can't get connected. We can't be united with God. We cannot find heaven on our own. We cannot find and unite ourselves with the maker of the universe who breathed things into existence on our own. But through Jesus Christ, with God, all things are possible. Why? Because God is bigger. Our perspective in life is to say that God is bigger. Praise God. Number two, we're talking about perspective. God is, number two, better. You say, better than what? Anything. Everything. God is better. You know, in the hard times, we go to things. We try to find our fix. Try to find our vice. In the good times, we go to we focus on the good things, the shoes, buying the clothes. Oh, you got a raise from work. Praise God. Get that new shirt. Got a raise, you know, got a better job. I'm going to get that new car. We go to the things that make us feel better. But let me tell you something. Besides all that, besides the clothing, besides the money, the possessions, the emotions, the people around us to the left, to the right, the husbands, the wives, the kids, wherever it might be. Let me tell you something. That might be great. God is better. And when you're going through hard times, maybe you found a fix in a bottle. Maybe you found a fix in a cigarette, in a pipe, in a needle. God is better than any fix, than any smoke, than any bottle, than any issue, than any therapist, than any book, than any psychologist, than anything. God is better. And we as a church, we as the body of Christ have got to grab a hold of that one. If there's one thing that you grab a hold of tonight, it's that God is bigger. If there's one thing that you grab a hold of tonight, it's that God is better. That you may have issues, that you may find yourself at the bottom of a bottle because you can't get through your life. But let me tell you something, the bottom of a bottle doesn't get you anywhere in life, but God will get you through it. God will get you past it and beyond it to where you can't imagine. All you have to do, like that song said, is call upon the name of the Lord. Because God is better than anything else, whether it be good, in times of glory, in times of celebration, or when life slaps you in the face, God is better. You guys awake in the house of the Lord this evening? Psalms, the 84th chapter, and Psalms 33. Just turn a couple of pages over. Psalms, the 84th chapter. Psalms 84, verse number 10.
Here the psalmist writes, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness." A day in the courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be the person that stands at the door than inside with royalty, with benefits in the house of wickedness. Why? Because God is better than everything else. Some of you have been in that situation. You've been beyond that. You found yourself in a bottle, but now you found that God's better. Some of you may be in that situation at this present time. You push through. You find out that God is better. God is able. God is better and bigger than your issue. And there is it's better to dwell one day in the courts of God than 1,000 with man. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. In Psalms, the 37th chapter, I'll just put it up on the overhead so you don't keep turning. It says, verse 37, Psalms 37, verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." You know what that term delight means? Delight. It means to enjoin yourself up. It means to celebrate in. It means to take everything, all the good and all the bad, and praise yourself, praise God in the midst of everything. Why? Because it's not about just saying, "Oh, God is good in your good times." It's not about saying, "Well, praise God, He's not done with me yet," in your hard times. When you delight yourself in the Word, in the Lord, you know what you're doing? Is you're filling yourself up with God. You're realizing, you know what? When you delight in something, you know when you eat ice cream, you know what you're doing? You're delighting yourself in ice cream. Have you ever seen anybody eat a triple scoop of cookies and cream, ice cream, or whatever your favorite is, and just licking at it? You ever seen somebody go, "Psh, ice cream. Oh my gosh. This is lame." When you got a bowl of ice cream, you know you want that extra scoop. You know when the ice cream's over, when that bowl's getting close. Come on, man. You know you're taking that spoon and you're trying to get all the little extras. Just one more. Just one more. Because you're delighting yourself in the ice cream. Yeah, you know what? How often do we really delight ourselves in the Lord? How often through life, through our perspectives, do we realize that God is so good that, man, I just got to get one more scoop, man. I just got to get one more. Oh, man. Oh, you know, we're reading the Bible, and you know, how many times has it been, "I got to read one more chapter. Oh, my gosh, I got to get one more." How many times have we been in church and be like, "I got to get back there tomorrow"? How many times have we been in prayer and say, "Man, I got to pray for 15 more minutes"? When we delight ourselves in the Lord, it's like that ice cream bowl. God's not after just what you and I think we do and our petty motions and sitting in service. Come on, guys. God's after our hearts. God's after our desires. God's after us looking unto Him. He's after us delighting ourselves in Him. He gave us everything through Jesus Christ that we might not just serve Him, but delight in Him, and to realize that God is better than everything else. God is better than TV. God is better than Oprah. God is better than the bottle. God is better than the cigarettes. God is better than the vice. God is better than the husband or the wife. Whatever it might be, that God is better and that we delight ourselves. And when we see that through perspective, now all of a sudden, you know what? When life slaps us, hey, man, I'm going through a hard time right now. Lost a loved one. But God's better. God's got a plan. Man, lost my job. Have to move out of the house. Have to get rid of all my possessions. God's better than that house. God's better than the job. God's better than the feeling that you had when you have to stand in the unemployment line. God's better than all of that. God is better than anything. He's better than everything. You guys with me tonight? We're talking about perspective. It's not just to give God attention, but to change, to show through our hearts that it's not just words, but it's truth. We're talking about perspective, a primer on perspective. Number three today, God is stronger. I'm going to stand in my same spot.
Stronger than what? Anything. Everything! God is stronger. You know, we go through life and we try to do things on our own. We do. We go through life and we try to carry those burdens, those emotions, those scars. You say, you know what? I'm stronger. Pop culture has even made songs about that. It's a popular thing to talk about in song. In society, I'm stronger. You know what? You say bad things about me, it just makes me stronger. You bring me down, shows that I'm stronger. I'll prove that I'm stronger. That's man's nature. That's the sin nature of God. That same nature that says God is smaller. But right when we grab a hold of perspective, when we grab a hold of the sight, remember God said our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. But now all of a sudden we grab a hold of perspective. We grab a hold of the vision and the sight, the thoughts that God has. Now all of a sudden we realize, hey, maybe I'm not so strong, but I know who is. I know God who's stronger. Who's stronger than a strong man. Who's stronger than my issue. Stronger than the words that were said against me. Stronger than the issues that I faced as a child. Stronger than what my parents said about me that have stuck with me all my life. God is stronger. And though we may act a front that we've got it all under control, bottom line is we're trying to keep our heads above water when we do it on our own. But when we give it to God, we realize, you know what? It's not our burden to carry. It's not our responsibility. God didn't design you and I to be pack mules of our baggage. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said what we talked about earlier today. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Word of God wouldn't say that if we humble ourselves before God, in due time He'd exalt us. And so we could cast our cares upon Him who cares for us. God didn't design you and I to try to do it on our own. He designed you and I to have weaknesses, to have infirmities, to have low moments and high moments so that we could see through real perspective that there is a God who cares for you and I that is stronger than our issues, that is stronger than our emotions, that is stronger than our situation, that is stronger than our feelings, that is stronger than the words that somebody said to us about us. God is stronger. In Zechariah, the fourth chapter, I'll just put it up on the overhead for the sake of time here. Prophet is recounting a vision that he had. Zechariah, the fourth chapter, goes on to say, it says, so he answered to me and said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah at the time of captivity. Israel had been in captivity. Now they were returning back to the land. The temple had been destroyed. The people of Israel were in a place where they didn't think that it could get any better or it could get any worse. They didn't think that the temple that Solomon had built could be rebuilt. They didn't think that they could be reestablished. They thought it was over. Now all of a sudden the prophet comes to say, the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, not by what you can do, not by your architects to try to rebuild the temple, not to try to rebuild the city, to rebuild your people. It's not by your might. It's not by your power. But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Doesn't matter how strong we are. Doesn't matter how much we could bench press or how much we can't bench press. God is always stronger. God can always handle more than we can. And all we have got to do is see life through the perspective that God has designed us to do. To see that God does not design us to be pack mules of our emotions. To be pack mules of our baggage and our drama. But rather to give it to Him so that we can be free of that burden. Because it is through Him. Let me show you that in the Word of God. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. Very prominent part of the Word of God. Paul the Apostle is teaching. 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. Paul the Apostle. He's talking about, the Bible says, if you got your Bibles, it might even say the thorn in the flesh. Paul's talking about an issue that he has. And he says, you know what? I prayed to God that He would remove it 3 times. Kept buffeting me, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, to pound against me, to put me down, to rise up against me. And I kept praying, kept praying. And the word of the Lord came to Paul.
Verse number 9.
If you've got a Bible that has words of Christ in red, you'll notice that verse number 9 is also in red. Because this is Jesus Christ speaking to Paul.
And he said to me, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me."
Paul the Apostle says, hey, listen, 3 times a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me, and I asked God to remove him. When God came and he stepped in, Jesus Christ said to me, listen to me. Understand that this is a learning experience in your life. This is a perspective change in your life. To not focus on the problem, but to focus on the power. When we focus on the issue, like Paul, with that messenger of Satan, that thorn of the flesh, he focused on it. He said, God, remove it. Didn't change. Focused on it. God, please remove it. Didn't change. Focused on it. God, please remove it. Didn't change. Then all of a sudden, the message of Jesus Christ came to him and said, listen to me. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And then all of a sudden, did you see Paul's perspective changed? Therefore, most gladly, he said, I will rejoice in my infirmities to know that the power of Christ may rest upon me and be complete. So when you and I go through hard times, when you and I have hard times, because let me tell you, they're going to be there. You may be going through them right now. When you and I have good times, wherever it might be, the perspective of our life is to understand that God is stronger. And that in our weaknesses, when we focus on the power of Christ rather than the issue itself, now all of a sudden we can say like Paul, my perspective's different. I can be glad that I am a weakling, that I am the scrawny kid in the playground, because God's power is made perfect in my weakness. And it's not my strength that will get me through the situation. It's not my strength that will get me over this mountain that I might be climbing. It's not my ability to get beyond the baggage of what I've been carrying all my life. But now, it is the ability of God, it is the strength of God, it is the power of God. Why? Because our perspective has changed. And now we realize that God is bigger, that God is better, and that God is stronger in our lives. You guys okay for one more? Can we go through one more?
We're kind of going late, so let me just push through this one. One more for tonight. God is, number four, God is compassionate.
We talked about God being bigger, God being better, God being stronger.
But God is more compassionate than what?
Anything. Everything.
You know, as a young adults pastor, I can't tell you how many times young people come to me and they say, Pastor, look, I didn't want to come to your service because I really felt like the church was going to burn down when I walked in. People, we honestly believe sometimes that God is shocked by our decisions, that God is flabbergasted at our lives. The God that breathed, the universe came to existence. Don't you think that God's seen it all? Yeah. Don't you think that he's heard it all? Yeah. Yet sometimes we go before God and say, God, I've messed up too many times. I'm no good. You don't want me. You can't take me back. You can't love me. I've missed my opportunity. I should just go back into the things that I did because this is a lost cause. I can't do it. God, I've just messed up too many times. But God says, hey, do you still have breath in your lungs? Are you still walking? Do you still have a beat in your heart? There is still opportunity for you to go to God because his mercies are new every morning. God is more compassionate than anything, than everything. As people, guess what? We judge. Right? Remember the term, bite me once, shame on me, on you. Bite me twice, shame on me. Talking about a dog biting me, I guess, is what my mom always used to say. As people, we live life through our perspective. All right, I'll trust you. You hurt me, I'll never trust you again. That's the reality of our lives. But God doesn't say, hey, listen, try God. Oh, you didn't make it. You made a mistake. You went back. You realized that God wasn't bigger. Or you thought that God wasn't bigger. You thought that God wasn't better. You thought that God wasn't strong enough for your situation, so you went back to the things. God doesn't say, all right, well, you had your shot. Sorry about you. On to the next. God is more compassionate than you and I are. He's more compassionate than our husbands and our wives. He's more compassionate than our friends and our family members. He's more compassionate than our bosses. He's more compassionate than the people on the 10 freeway to you and I in rush hour traffic. God is more compassionate. And it doesn't matter what you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and I. He loved you enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were rejecting Him, God knew, I love Him enough. I'm more compassionate than that. So it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what ladder or road you're going through to understand that God is more compassionate than anybody around you. If you go before the Lord, I'll tell you what, His mercies are new every morning. Let me show you what the Word of God says, and we'll conclude with this. I'm just going to pop it up on the overhead. Psalms 86, verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and in truth." Psalms 106, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." 1 John 1, 9 won't be up on the overhead. John's probably freaking out when I said that. 1 John 1, 9 says that if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to cleanse us of our unrighteousness and forgive us. And in closing, let me just read this to you in Luke the 15th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke the 15th chapter. Oh, the perspective of mankind versus the perspective of God. I really believe that this will bring it all home as far as man's perspective versus God. Luke the 15th chapter. Parable, the prodigal son. Illustration that Jesus Christ gives to man of the relationship of God to His people. You know the story? If you don't know the story, there's a rich man who has two sons. The younger of the sons calls in his inheritance and says, "Dad, I want my inheritance money. I'm going to go do my own thing." Gets his inheritance, goes out, lives the life, modern day vernacular, modern day times, San Bernardino times. He's clubbing it up, gambling it up, drinking it up, chilling at the bars with the women, whatever it is. He spoils his inheritance. He finds himself in a lowly state to the point where he's sleeping with the pigs at night, eating from the food of the pig pens. Who once was a rich man's, rich ruler's young son, now he's living in the dirt, eating out of the pigs. And he says to himself, Luke 15, verse number 18. I'm going to read verse 17 to you real quick because I want you to see this. Verse 17 says, "But when he came to himself, he said," all of a sudden he realized, "my perspective is out of alignment. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Verse number 18. And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Goes on to say that he put the robe and he put the ring and he slaughtered the fatted calf and he restored his son. God is like that father. You and I like that prodigal. We go through our lives. We make mistakes. Make bad decisions. Say the wrong things. We think, man, I've messed up too many times. Let me just go back and say, God, I've lost it. I've messed up it. I would just love to just be a nobody in the kingdom of God. Just let me get through life. Hopefully I can find you at the end of it. Like the father. Didn't see him at the end of the road and say, "Ha, look at that young punk, man. I knew he'd come back." God's not sitting there saying, "Psh, look at you. Look at you." He's not saying that. Bible says in the parable, he says like a father, he saw them from a distance and he ran to him with open arms and said, "Welcome home."
and he wrapped his arms around him and he kissed him on the neck and gave him the ring. He put the robe around him and he restored him back to who he was. Why? Because our God is more compassionate than anybody else that might not restore us, that might say, you hurt me, you made the wrong decision, but that is not our God. Because our God is not like people. He is not small like you and I on the little golf ball sized planet. God is big. God breathed the world to existence. He breathed the universe into existence, and God is bigger than you and I. God is better than anything you and I can resort to. All we have got to understand is that we've got to delight ourselves like that bowl of ice cream. To say, man, there's nothing better than some God in my life. Can I get some more? That God is stronger. That you were not designed to be a pack mule of your baggage and the baggage of everybody else as they dump it on you, but rather to give it to God. And finally, that God is more compassionate than anything, than everything. That He loves us. He loves you in this place. Did you guys get something out of the Word of the Lord tonight? Praise God. I tell you what.